Thank you, Gospel Choir and Edie Hyde. Edie, if somebody wanted to join the Gospel Choir, what nights do you practice on?
Monday nights.
Monday nights at what time?
7 to 8:30.
7 to 8:30 at?
The new music building.
Okay.
In 140.
So if you want to join Monday nights, you're taking new folks on anytime. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Edie. Edie, that was old school song.
Right?
That was our day. I remember. Very good. All right. I want you to open up your Bibles. Here we go. Smartphones, Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verses 13 through 16. If you're looking on in your pew Bible, it's on page 786. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Listen to the voice of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so as others see your good works, your good life, they will give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus is making it very clear in these few verses that he's calling his followers to be like salt and light in his world. This morning, we're going to look at what Jesus is calling his followers to be like salt. And on Friday, Lauren Taylor is going to help us understand what Jesus is referring to when he calls his followers to be light. Salt. Salt. What is Jesus calling us to be like salt? As I was preparing this message, I came across a great clip by pastor and author Tim Keller when he was talking about this charge of Jesus to be like salt. Let's listen to it.
Start with salt. You are the salt of the earth. We have to remember that in ancient times, salt was more a preservative than a seasoning. I'm not saying it wasn't seasoning back then, but it was more valuable as a preservative. You put salt into meat, and it would last for a very long time. It basically, you put salt into that which would ordinarily decay, and it stems the decay and the breakdown. What does that mean? Now, I actually mentioned this very briefly last week in looking forward into the rest of the sermon, but let me say it now. And I think it's an intriguing image that Jesus gives us. If you see somebody's life falling apart, they're falling apart. Problems inside, problems outside. Oh, you know, their whole life is falling apart. How do you respond to that? I think most of us say, let me out of here. You go away. Why? Because I'm going to be sucked into all this. Oh my goodness, it's going to be so draining. Jesus says, a Christian, when you see someone's life falling apart, you go in. You're salt. You're going in there to stem the decay. This is also true if you see a society or you see a city or a neighborhood falling apart with social problems or economic problems. Christians don't run away. I think plenty of people do. They just say, well, get me out of here. Christians find ways of being in there. Now, a person who's attracted to people or communities that are falling apart can be attracted for very wrong reasons. For example, you might just need to be needed. And those of you who know anything about the family systems of alcoholism know about this. How often you have a spouse who's an alcoholic, an addict, a spouse who's not, and then at one point the spouse who is an addict gets sober. And very often, not long after that, the marriage breaks up. Why? Because the spouse who wasn't a mess needed the spouse to be a mess. He needed to be needed, needed to feel strong, maybe needed to feel superior. Those of you who've been in that world know That's very often the case. And therefore, there are wrong motives. You can also just be superior and feel like, oh, I'm a Christian, so I know all the answers. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Christians have experienced in their own lives, Colossians 1:17, in him, in Christ, all things hold together. We know what it's like to have a life falling apart. And Jesus come in and bring it together and bring coherence and bring cohesion and draw the things, the parts of our lives together. And therefore, we've experienced that existentially. And so when we see things falling apart, we want to go in because we just want to be of help. Not triumphalistic, not needing to be needed, just simply responding and being for other people what Christ has been for us. So it's a lovely and wonderful and rich metaphor. To be salt out there in the world means to be involved. In fact, this congregation will be, you will be able to say, we're a salty congregation. If the neighbors, people around, start looking at us like this and saying, I don't really believe what they believe, but they are so involved in the city. See, that's salt. They're so involved. Salt penetrates. They're so involved in the city. They're doing so many things. I don't know what we do without them. If that happens, you're salt.
Salt stems decay. Jesus is saying that his followers are to be people who, when they see individuals, when they see communities, when they see societies falling apart or decaying, that they are to move in or to get involved. Not in a posture of self-righteous or spiritual superiority, but in a posture of spiritual humility and self-identification. Hope College senior Jake Chipka, known to many of us as Chip or Chipper, as like I like to call him, got a firsthand experience of seeing communities, a community, and individuals within that communities and families falling apart due to poverty, due to drugs, due to violence. When you had a two-week experience in Cacao, Honduras this summer. I got it.
Atta baby.
So tell us a little about what you experienced this summer.
Yeah, so like you said, I was in Honduras, the village of El Cacao. It's on the northern coast of Honduras, right on the water in between mountains. So just an incredible, just picturesque village, I guess you could say. And I worked in the medical clinic there. So that was kind of my reasoning for going. My kind of selfish reasoning at the time was like, oh, I can get medical clinic hours, I could go towards PA school. But as soon as I got there, it was just overwhelming at just what I immersed myself into. And I saw some of the most, in my case, interesting, but in a lot of people's cases, most disgusting injuries you've ever seen. And working in the medical clinic, and it was a blast that way. But one day, they asked me to step away from the medical clinic and just go throughout the village and do grassroots evangelism. And that's when it kind of like hit me, when I got to truly get to know people in the village and experience, not really experience firsthand, but understand the experiences that they were going through. And it was just heartbreaking to see the things that I saw. And the village is an extremely poor village, but it's extremely small and close-knit, and kids are growing up. I would say 75% of the kids grew up there with a single parent, if a parent at all. And that was extremely hard to see. Most kids in the village have zero authority man figure in their life. So it's just very hard to see. And the school has kind of had the biggest impact on me down there when I was in Honduras. And I got to volunteer at the school, teach English and do some stuff. And I noticed that there really wasn't a ton of kids in school. Some days the teachers wouldn't even show up. So like I actually got to teach a class by myself once, which was interesting, speaking zero Spanish. But so that was fun. But so the kids have a lot of passion for what they want to do. They have an extremely loving and warm heart. They were always coming up to me and hugging me, trying to play soccer with me, mostly because they knew they'd beat me every time because I'm miserable at soccer. But just immersing myself within the school and seeing the poverty, seeing the drug traffic firsthand going on, the corruption in the police. The police down there would actually kind of lead on and distribute the drugs to the community. It was extremely hard to see.
So you see, you were in a community where the community is in some ways falling apart, impact it had on families, the impact it had on the children in that community. Yep. And there was especially one person you met by the name of Darwin. Tell us a little about that story.
Darwin David Lopez.
There's the man right
there.
There
he is, the man, yes. The myth, the legend. he was an incredible kid. He was 22, so he's my age, senior's age, had the education level of a third grader, just because the school system down there is just not adequate, and his family was extremely poor, and they couldn't pay for schooling, so he just dropped out. And at first, when he first dropped out of school, he immediately got included into the drug trafficking, the gangs that go on in the village. And that's what happens. When you drop out of school, the only thing left is soccer or drugs. And if you're not going to be able to succeed and make the Olympic team in soccer, you turn to drugs. And that's unfortunately just how it is in the village. And so he went through and was known kind of like, almost as like the head of the gang. He was like, a lot of people were so scared of him. And he was an incredibly dangerous man for a while. Then the mission that I went through, Adventure and Mission, moved down to Cacao 7 years ago, and they've been implemented there ever since. And they saw Darwin, and they saw how much of an authority figure he was and how much influence he had on the village, and they just put passion on their heart to go out and just seek Darwin David Lopez and show that love. And now he's absolutely one of the staples of the mission down there, and it's incredible just to see the transformation that occurred in his life. And now he's leading the youth groups, and he's leading other things within the mission, and I just saw that he had an incredible passion to go out and serve kids. And his dream was to go to a YWAM school in Costa Rica. It was hard for him, though, because it was $3,000 that he didn't have. So when I went back to America, he asked me, just could go back and pray for me if you could, like just pray for the financial support. So that's what I did. Got back to America, started praying. And as the more I prayed, the more I felt this passion on my heart, like God's just like pushing me towards out of my comfort zone, and just kept pushing me and pushing me. And next thing I knew, I started fundraising some money through my friends, through my family, through people back home in my church, and I started working a couple extra jobs. And by the end of the summer, I had the $3,000, sent it to him, and now he's in Costa Rica doing what he loves. So it's incredible to see that.
That's awesome. It doesn't stop just with Darwin, and I'm going to be really quick because our time's going fast. You come back here, and you share your story about what you do with Darwin. Yeah. And some people start to encourage you, hey, it's not just Darwin. Yeah. So there's 100 students in the school, and Chip says, okay, Lord, how can I be involved in helping their education? Yeah. So at this point right now, Chip is involved in looking to raise $35,000 to put 100 kids through a year of school and then to pay for their diploma when they graduate. And one of the ways that you're doing that is through a 3-on-3 tournament coming here to Hope in a couple weeks.
This is true.
Hit that slide.
Okay.
Hope College Mortarboard will be hosting a 3-on-3 basketball tournament for all genders on November 6th at 7 p.m. So you can have an all-guys team, an all-girls team, intermixed. There'll be a competitive division and a non-competitive division. And it'll be $21 per team to enter, and all that money goes straight towards the kids in Honduras.
You don't need any talent. Doesn't matter who you are. Sign up for the tournament. Sign up is due next week. Now, listen to this. Listen to me before you leave. Listen to me. You are the salt of the earth. You're to move into communities, families, organizations, teams, here, right here at Hope College. You don't have to go to Honduras. It's right here. And you are to be salt. This is a sweet salt packet. On your way out, as a little reminder, you're going to get a little salt packet to put in your purse or in your pocket to remind you are salt. Go in peace.